Good morning. How are you all this morning? Good. I'm happy to be here with you all. We don't get to come to Cedar Ridge a lot, but it's always good to be here. My wife would normally be with me. She is in Florida currently visiting her sister, so I'm solo today. My name is David Smith. As for those who don't know me or have never met me, my title is Regional Director for Colorado Baptist General Convention. And so in 2022, we just finished our third year, we created what are these regional directors. So we have eight regions throughout the state of Colorado split up, and I got Southwest Colorado. And so and the goal was to place men who already were in those regions as the regional director, so we weren't bringing people from outside that didn't understand the context of the areas, that hadn't served there, that didn't know what was going on. And so I had been pastoring for 12 years in Nucla, Colorado. Who knows where Nucla is? Yeah, most people around here do. So I pastored for 12 years in Nucla before I took on this position, and so now I get to serve the churches in the Uncompahgre Baptist Association, which is what you guys are a part of, and Mesa Verde Association. There's about 36 churches total, about 15,000 square miles. Last year, I figured out a couple weeks ago that in all, I drove a total of 9 full 24-hour days over the last year. That's how much time I spent in my vehicle driving from a church in Grand Junction to Pagosa Springs and everywhere in between. And so, but this is what God has called us to in this season. And I want to thank you all at this church for continuing to support Colorado Baptist, the Southern Baptist Convention, our association, just in so many ways, you guys as supporting that are a part of so many things that are going on that you probably don't even know about. And so one, as you give to the cooperative program, which is the Southern Baptist Convention's giving arm, we have about 47,000 churches across the nation, and every church that gives into that is giving to multiple things. And so one, you're giving into international missions, so about 3,600 missionaries across the world. Also, by the Lottie Moon Christmas offering, that goes straight to international missions, and I'm sure you guys have been a part of that. You give to about 5,000 missionaries in North America. We're talking church planters, campus ministers, campground ministers. There's some street preachers that are part of that, but through the cooperative program, you guys are giving into those ministries. And then through the association, you are supporting multiple things. You give to our association, you support the Pastoral Institute of the Western Slope, right, which is designed to identify local men and raise them up and train them to send them out locally so that we don't have to bring in people from outside of our state who don't understand Colorado and definitely don't understand Western Slope, Colorado. We are raising up men locally, and so far, I mean, we've had two men that have been pastors locally, one that was called while he was at the Institute to a pastor of church in Norwood, Colorado. And then Aaron Byram in Paonia, James Byram has gone through the program, and we're just waiting to see what God's going to do with him. But your pastor teaches a class there. Nick Greer has been part of it for the last few years, helping with the theology classes. And so you guys are supporting that. But then beyond that, there are just some great things that you guys are a part of that I just want to make you aware of. One, we're collecting this month for the Nicey Murphy Colorado Mission Offering. Because of that offering last year as a state convention, we were able to give away about $100,000 to churches to help them with things like an Apple Fest or Vacation Bible School or putting on a block party for their community. Through that offering, you're able to do that. And then you have had a hand by supporting all of these programs and helping some of our churches throughout Southwest Colorado. And I just want to share a couple of them with you because it's important that you understand your reach goes far beyond Cedar Edge. And so I mentioned Norwood, Colorado. In August of 2023, I met with the church in Norwood, Colorado. There were 6 members left. And we had a serious discussion on whether it was time for them to close the doors. What could they do next? Could they just close and let's pass this legacy of a church on to someone who could plant a new church that could reach the community? And those 6 members said, No, we're not done. God's not done with us. God has a purpose for this church. And so over the last 2 years, we worked with that church. We supported that church. As I said, one of the guys that went through the Pastoral Institute was called to that church as the pastor. And so in August of 2023, there were 6 members left. A couple of weeks ago, I got a message from one of their members that said there was 40 in attendance. And you're a part of that because you're supporting the association. And through that support, we're able to help them financially to give this young man and his family of 4 kids a living wage in Norwood because the church wasn't able to do so yet. And so we came alongside. We've got another church that we've come alongside and we help with the pastor's salary until the church is in a place where they can do it on their own. And it's only because of the support that we get from churches like this one. And then we go beyond that. You guys have been a part in your giving and supporting a church in Dolores, Colorado, Dolores Southern Baptist Church. Kind of the same story as Norwood. 2 years ago, they had been searching for a pastor for about 5 years. Down to about 15 people. And we got a call one day and said, hey, there's a guy living in Dolores that just sent his resume to Creed, Colorado. And so we reached out to him and said, hey, listen, there's a church right here in Dolores, your hometown, that's looking for a pastor. And the two of them connected, and today, a couple weeks ago, that church had about 63 in attendance. And they're looking at, their building only holds about 80. And they're like, what are we going to do next if we keep growing this way? And those are just great things that are happening across Southwest Colorado that because of your giving to cooperative program, to the association, you're supporting these places. And we see it, Durango, Colorado, they planted a church a year ago called Overland Church. Overland Church Fort Collins sent 25 people to Durango, Colorado to plant a church. Their launch Sunday, they had over 200 in attendance. They merged with another church in Durango. They reconfigured the building they were in. They thought they could get about 200 people in the service, so they were going to have to go to 2 services. 3 weeks ago, they had 400 people attend services there, and they're already like, we're going to have to go to 3 or 4 services to fit all these people. And that is because you guys support the cooperative program, North American Mission Board. You're able to support churches like that that are reaching very dark places with the gospel. And so I thank you for that. We love Colorado. We love serving these communities in Colorado. And so thank you for your continued support. And if you want to hear more about what's going on in Southwest Colorado, you can just reach out to me, talk to me. There's so many other things going on that we're a part of. But I want to get into His Word today. If you have your Bible, turn to the book of Matthew. We're going to be in Matthew chapter 28. Why are we here? We tend to think in now. And so many of us would say, well, we're here to worship. We were here to sing praises to God. And we could have honestly just kept singing. I mean, what a great time of worship this morning. That would have been enough to send us out of here with a positive attitude and worship of our Creator. But maybe this morning we're like, well, I'm going to get up and I'm going to go to Sunday school and I'm going to go to church and then I'm going to fellowship with some people. But I'm asking a bigger question. As believers in Jesus Christ, as disciples, why are we here? Why did God place this church in Cedar Edge, Colorado? Why did He put you in this church or whatever church it may be that you're a part of? Why did He bring you here? And let me just be honest, it's not to have a church building. It's not just to have Sunday school or vacation Bible school or what sounds like is going to be a great women's Bible study. All of those things may be a part of our purpose or why we're here, but they are not the reason. And I would say to you, the church or you as individuals together as believers in Christ are here for the same purpose. We are all here for the same reason, and God, Jesus, gives it to us in Matthew chapter 28, starting in verse 19, and this is what it says. I'm going to actually start in verse 18. Then Jesus came to them and said, "All authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. Therefore, go and make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and of the Son and of the Holy Spirit, and teaching them to obey everything I have commanded you. And surely I am with you always to the very end of the age." Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, I ask, God, that you speak. Remove every distraction, remove every event that I'm thinking of right now that may be coming up. Remove everything, Lord, that we would hear your voice. And not only that we would hear your voice, that your Spirit would convict us and we would change. That it would lead us to do something different, because maybe we've fallen away, maybe we've stopped, maybe there's something that we're supposed to be doing or that you, Lord, are asking us to do and we're ignoring it. And I would say today, Lord, bring us to that decision. Whatever that is, Lord. Speak to us through your word. And speak to us clearly. And we're praying in your name today, Jesus. Amen. These verses that we just read is what we call the Great Commission. This is our purpose. This is why we are here. This is why everything that we do should be about this. It's who we are. It's supposed to be what we are about. About 2010, the Southern Baptist Convention, and many people don't know this, the Southern Baptist Convention voted to change their name to the Great Commission Partnership. It just never changed because it was too expensive. It was too expensive to rebrand everything. And so, on some documents, you'll see that Great Commission whatever. But that's not what anybody calls it. But that's the purpose. That's why we're here. This is why God put this church here. It's why he put each of us here. But the reality is, are we living on purpose? In 2018, and I tried to find a more recent study and I couldn't, so I'm going with this one. In 2018, the Barna Research Group did a study that said 51% of Sunday morning church attenders do not know what the Great Commission is. Let it sink in. 51% of people, if this statistic is right, that are in a church this morning have no idea what the Great Commission is. If it's our purpose, and it's why we're here, then why don't we know about it? Why are we not talking about it? Why are we not living it out? The Great Commission is our purpose. If we don't understand it, if we're not living out our purpose, then we're not doing it as a church or as a follower of Christ, then we are failing in our mission. When we come to this passage, just to back up just a hair, we're all familiar with this, and probably when I said we were going to be talking about the Great Commission, many of you, like myself, went, "Really? Another Great Commission sermon? Another time talking about the Great Commission? Why do we need to hear it again? We know it. We could quote it. We can recite it every day." And I think this is why it's important that we hear this over and over and over again. Because statistically, in the last 2 years, it has been said, and you can agree with this or not agree with it, it has been said that the state of Colorado is 93% lost. Now, that doesn't mean that there's only 7% of Colorado is going to church today. What it means is that there are a lot of people sitting in churches that are lost, who maybe even think that they're saved, but because of false teaching, they're lost. And if 93%, even if we wanted to back it off to 50% of Colorado is not saved, there's still a mission there. There's still something that we need to be doing, and this is what it is. We are supposed to be following the Great Commission. So at this point, Jesus has been crucified. He's raised from the dead. He spent 40 days with his disciples teaching them the secrets of the kingdom of God. And now he leaves them with this direction, which is passed on to us, the Great Commission. In the Great Commission, Jesus gives us four things that are important to us. And I want to just go through each of those this morning. The first one is this: go. Jesus says, go. Right before he says, go, he tells us, all authority has been given to me, so go. So the first thing I want you guys to understand is this: you don't need someone else to tell you to go. You don't need your church to tell you to go. You don't need your pastor to tell you to go. Some other higher human authority to come in and tell you to go. Because Jesus, with all of his authority, has already said it. He has commissioned you to go. But what does it mean to go? What does it mean for each and every one of us to go? Well, there is some debate over this. There is some disagreement over this. Some people believe that this means drop everything you're doing, pack up your life, and go. That's what the disciples did. Jesus said, follow me. They left everything behind and followed him. And there are a lot of people who would say, when Jesus says go, he's telling us, drop everything, leave it behind, and go. And that may be the case. There may be a point in your life where Jesus is saying to you, I don't want you where you are anymore. I want you to stop what you're doing and go to this other place where I'm going to use you in a very mighty way. In my life, over 22 years of ministry, there have been four times where God has done that to my wife and I. He said, okay, we're done here. Pack it up. And my wife and I are a little careless, so we just go. Sometimes without knowing what's happening next, we'll just be like, yep, we load in a U-Haul and we're going. But not everybody is going to be sent like that in their lifetime. And so the other option is, the other thing that people think is, when Jesus says go, he means literally while you are going. Meaning, I've placed you where you are right now, while you live there, while you work there, while you go to school there, while you recreate there, everything that you do, I want you to go and share the gospel. Go and tell people about Jesus. Because that's what we should be doing. As followers of Christ, as disciples of Jesus, we should be telling people about Jesus. And I believe that when Jesus says go, he's saying both. Hey, go while you're right here, but when I tell you to go somewhere else, go there too. And a lot of times we're okay staying where we are, but when God says go somewhere else, we're a little bit hesitant. But God may ask us to do both. This going that Jesus tells us to do should encompass everything about our life. It shouldn't just be go to church or go help with VBS or go help with Sunday school or go on this mission trip. It should be every day, all-encompassing, saturating every moment of our life. As disciples of Christ, we should be looking for opportunities in our communities to go and share the gospel. At the coffee shop, at the grocery store, at the restaurant, in every way that we can, with our families, in hospital rooms, in everything that we're doing, go. Because if we don't go, who will? And somebody went, and that's how you heard the gospel. And now it's our turn. It's our turn to go. As I said, in 22 years of ministry, my wife and I have been sent four times to pack up and leave our home. And I'm just going to briefly run through those just so you can see maybe what God may be asking one of you to do. And so the first one, we were living in Washington. God called me to go to seminary. I had fought it for years. And then one day after a youth event, we were teaching a youth Sunday school class, and one day God said, go to seminary. And so I went home that day. I told my wife. She said, okay, that's what God says. Let's do it. I sent an application into the seminary, and then that next day I went to my job and said, hey, I'm quitting. I don't know when I'm leaving, but by the end of the summer I'll be gone. And they said, okay, we'll replace you. I was like, all right. And then at the end of the summer, we loaded a U-Haul and we moved across the state of Washington. Had never seen the apartment we moved into. We didn't have jobs. We didn't know what was going to happen. But God said, go, so we went. That's why I say we're a little bit careless. We have a friend that says we cliff jump for Jesus, because if we'll just go, doesn't matter what's happening. The second time was moving from Washington to Oregon, where I became a youth pastor, and it was the same thing. We had established life. We were serving in a church, and God said, all right, I'm sending you to this church in Oregon, and we packed up and we went. And then he did it again when we moved from Oregon back home to Colorado. Packed it all up. Went to a church in Nuclea, Colorado, who both of us, we had to look it up on a map because we didn't know where Nuclea, Colorado was. We even questioned while we were in Nuclea preaching in view of a call why we were there. But God sent us there, so we went. And then in 2022, God said, all right, I'm moving you on. And then we took this position and we left our home in Nuclea and we found a place to live in Delta, and now we serve this region, and next time God sends us to a new place, we'll go again. But this is where both of them come into play. We have to be willing to say, drop everything and go, but while God has us someplace, we have to go. And so when we were in Washington, we went. When we were in Oregon, we went into those communities. We were in Nuclea for 12 years. I coached basketball. My wife worked for the town. We had two businesses that we opened, started there, and were running. Like, we were part of that community. And we went into that community with the gospel until God said, go. And so I would challenge you today, if our commission is to go, and God has given us the authority, where is he telling you today to go? Maybe it's your neighbor, maybe it's somebody at the coffee shop, maybe it's somebody at the hospital, at the restaurant, maybe it's a relative. Where is God telling you to go? Maybe God's saying, pack up what you're doing right now because I'm sending you someplace else. And are we willing to take the gospel when God says go? Jesus says in the Great Commission, go. The second thing that he says is make disciples. Go and make disciples. And so here we have another command, another mandate from Jesus as to what we're supposed to be doing, yet we have put all the pressure on the church to make disciples. We've created programs, who knows how many hundreds or thousands of books have been written to tell us how to make disciples or to teach a church how to make disciples, all of these things. And what I want to say to you is it is not the church's sole responsibility to make disciples. It is for each of us. It is our responsibility. Can the church help? You bet. Should the church help? Yes. But it is our responsibility to go, tell people about Jesus, and then walk with them as they mature in their faith. Go and make disciples. This is what we are called to do as we go through life. At work, at school, at recreation, we have to tell people about the saving grace of Jesus Christ. That's where it starts. And we take people from non-believers and we walk with them through life. You can't be a disciple of Jesus if you've never heard about Jesus. And what God didn't call us to do is just make converts. Converts maybe profess a faith in Christ, but they never grow. There's no maturing. They stay with milk and don't move on to the solid food. And what we have to do as believers is walk with them, disciple them so that we mature in our faith. And there should always be a process of discipleship. We should be discipling someone, and someone should be discipling us, because we are never done being discipled. We go and we make disciples. And so I would ask you, who are you discipling? And who's discipling you? Because this is the commission of God. Go and make disciples. Let me give you an example of what it should look like, and I'm going to pull this out of the secular realm. Just to give us an example of what it should look like if we were effectively making disciples in our communities. So the Greek philosopher Plato developed a system of thought that's called Platonic philosophy. Aristotle then built on Plato's teaching, and he developed his own system known as Aristotelian logic. Aristotle then established schools, he called them academies, to train more of his disciples. The Greek discipleship system was so effective because they had high-functioning Greek disciples who were sold out to the Greek way, functioning in all levels of their society. So when the Roman Empire took over, they could not eradicate the Greek influence. Rome was in charge, but all of these people who had been discipled with Greek influence would not let go of that. And so they were able to function at all levels of society with this Greek influence, and so Rome was never able to fully take over. That's what it should look like for us to disciple people in the church. There should be such great discipleship going on that we have followers of Christ at every level of society, working to a point, growing to a point, maturing to a point where no matter what government is in charge, you can't eradicate Christianity. But we've separated things. And we've said we live life and then we go to church. We live life and then we do this. And we need to bring the two together, and that's what it looks like when you have great discipleship. And that discipleship is on each and every one of us because there is someone that you should be discipling today. Someone that God has brought into your life that maybe even today you need to reach out to and say, hey, let's get together. Let's start meeting once a month. Let's work together. Let's grow in our maturity. Let me walk with you through life. Go and make disciples. And no matter what rule we live under, our thinking should always be on Christ. And this doesn't happen just by a conversion. It is intentionally making disciples. And we as followers of Christ are called to do that. Make lifelong learners of Jesus. That's what we're called to do. So we go, we make disciples. The third thing Jesus says, baptize them. Almost every place in the scripture where someone asks, what must I do to be saved? They're told, believe and be baptized. In the Great Commission, which as a church, I would say, this is what Jesus left us here to do, this is what we're called to do. You can have a different vision or mission or all of these things, church to church, but our commission is what Jesus said here, and he makes baptizing people a high priority. Baptize them. This is not about checking a box that says, I believe, or raising my hand that says, I believe, or even walking an aisle that says, I believe. Baptize them. There should never be anything else until we baptize them. This is what we do. This is that moment where people say, I confess my faith in Jesus publicly. I am buried to my sin and I raise with him to a new life. Yet we don't want to make people uncomfortable, and so people just don't get baptized anymore. Baptize them. This is an important part of the Great Commission. We go, we make disciples, which means that first we share the gospel, people are saved, we baptize them. And I believe You cannot fulfill your further mission in Christ if you don't first follow him in baptism. Baptize them. Jesus says, baptize them. And we should be baptizing people as they're saved. I think that, again, we have, and I'm not saying this is wrong. We want to make sure that people are saved. We want to make sure they understand the decision that they made, but we also need to make sure that they know what's coming next. But we have stopped baptizing, and I'm not, I don't know who, if you guys have baptized people recently, don't take this the wrong way. As a church, globally, in America specifically, we have stopped baptizing people because we've said, well, we need to verify 100% that they're saved. But in the scripture, they said, let's get in the water. Let's do it. You want to follow Jesus? Let's do it now. There's a stream right there. Right there, let's do it. Just a couple weeks ago, we met with my sister-in-law and her husband, and they came to us, and through some life circumstances for both of us, they're like, man, we want to be baptized. We've believed in Jesus, but we haven't followed him in baptism. But we want to be baptized, and we want you to do it. And I'm like, yes, let's do it. Where do you want to do it at? Right? I'm not a pastor. I can't go like, well, let's come to my church and we'll do it there. Where do you want to do it at? They said, well, we want to do it on September 28th in the river down in Grand Junction. I'm like, you bet. I'll be there. What time? Because Jesus said, baptize them. Jesus said, and again, I'm not saying don't talk to them about the Lord. Don't share the gospel, or make sure you share the gospel with them. Don't overlook all those things. But man, if somebody wants to be baptized, we need to baptize them, because when somebody wants to be baptized, they're ready to move on to the next step. And yet we go, well, let's wait. Let's wait, Will, and please, again, don't take this the wrong way. And don't tell another church that I said anything like this. But what we say today is, okay, well, we have a baptism Sunday coming next quarter. No, do you have a baptismal? Yeah, why are we not filling the waters every Sunday? Let's do it. Right? Somebody wants to be saved? Let's do it. You guys did a baptism, I think, this last summer at a lake, right? Up on a mountain somewhere, right? Some baptisms, yeah. Let's do it. Now that needs some more, I mean, you got to set that up, plan that out a little bit, but part of the commission is to be baptized. And as people believe in Jesus, we should be seeing them baptized. It's part of the commission. So as you go into this life, you're going to tell people about Jesus, you're going to share the gospel with them, you're going to see people saved, you're going to baptize them, and Jesus then tells us the fourth thing here, teach them. He says, teach them everything I have commanded. Here it is. Everything. We have a Bible today because this is what Jesus wanted us to know. This is what he wanted us to teach. And you don't have to be a scholar or a theologian or have a doctorate or a master's degree or any training if you and another person will sit down with the Bible and open it up and read it. You will be teaching. You will be learning together. And that's what Jesus tells us to do. Your private Bible study is good. Coming to church on Sunday morning is good. But we can't teach everything that Jesus commanded in a 30-minute sermon on a Sunday morning. And not many people will sit until the sun goes down like they did for Paul. And then again until the sun came up. Not many people today will just show up in a field like they did for those first evangelists like Jonathan Edwards, where they just showed up because he was there. We can't do it all on Sunday morning. Each and every one of you needs to be sitting down with somebody and reading the scripture so that everybody is learning everything that Jesus commanded. And when you do that, it fills your life with the Word of God, and you don't get distracted by all the other stuff that's going on. I've been listening to The Practice of the Presence of God by Brother Lawrence. Are you familiar with this? Well, Brother Lawrence was at a monastery. He wasn't a priest. He worked in the kitchen. Yet he was one of the most spiritual men that you would have had the pleasure to know. And in that, at one point in a letter, he says, if you want to not be distracted in your prayers and you want to not be distracted in the things of this life, I'm paraphrasing, what you have to do is just fill yourself with God every day. And the more you fill yourself with God, the less distracted you become by everything else. But how do we fill ourselves if nobody's teaching us? How do we fill ourselves if we're not willing to sit down with someone and go, man, let's dig in, let's get into this? Teach them. Now, it's part of the church. Sunday school, Sunday morning, vacation Bible schools, Bible studies, all of those things are forms of teaching. But when it's all said and done, it's each and every one of us sitting down with maybe two or three people or one-on-one and saying, let's dig in. What are you going through? Here's what I'm dealing with. And that relational discipleship is so important to us today. I read in a book one time, and I can't remember what it was, so I just usually claim this quote as my own. I heard somewhere that if you say it three times, it's yours. So, I wish I could remember who said it. They wrote in a book, making disciples is inviting people into your life to watch you die every day. And if we're not willing to let people see who we really are, if we're not willing to open up and be transparent, then we're going to lose some people to the world. And so I just say, teach them. Jesus gave us this command, go, make disciples, baptize them, teach them everything that I have commanded you. And so I ask you the question, who are you telling Jesus about? Who in your life right now have you been talking to about our Lord and Savior? Or is there somebody you should be? Who in your life right now do you need to reach out to and go, hey, let's just sit down and get in the Word together. I need it. You need it. Who in your life right now needs to be baptized and you need to be like, hey, let's do this. You said you believed a couple years ago. You said you believed earlier this year. We've seen the fruit of that. Now let's follow this up in baptism. Let's get it done. It doesn't matter how educated we are. It doesn't matter how much seminary we have or how many years we have been going to church. None of us is qualified to do what God asks us to do. So even if you think you're not qualified sitting there, you're right. You're not. But God is highly qualified. And it's only because of God that the disciples were able to take the gospel to the nations they did. It's only because of God that this church is here and has been here for as long as it has been. And it's only because of God and His power that it will continue to go and that you will go. So what I'm asking of you today is just be willing to say, yes, I will go. Whatever that looks like, Lord, I will go. And then Jesus ends this passage with something that should give us comfort. And surely I'm with you always to the end of the age. Jesus is with you. Whatever this step is that He's asking you to take, He is with you. Find peace in that. Find comfort in that. Let's stay focused on the mission. Let's stay focused on the purpose. Let's stay focused on the commands of Jesus and go and make disciples, baptizing them and teaching them everything that Jesus commanded. Let's pray. Lord, as we come before you this morning, you, God, know every heart that is sitting in this room today. You know what they've been fighting with you about. You know what they've been ignoring. You know what you've been saying to them. And I ask, God, that right now your Spirit convicts us and leads us to say yes. That right now, if you walk down the aisle of this church, Lord, and you said, follow me, and we didn't know where we were going or what we were doing, every single one of us would get up and follow because we want to be on mission for you. This community, Lord, needs these people. And he needs them to be fully devoted, fully sold out to you, Lord. And so I would pray, God, that you would make that happen. Change us, Lord. Change us from the inside out. Lord, if there's someone sitting in this room today that has not made a decision to follow you, that has not believed in you, God, that today would be the day of salvation, that today they would understand that they are lost to an eternity in hell without you. That it is only through your grace, through your blood that was shed on the cross, that they can be saved, and that today they would make a decision for you. God, and for anyone sitting in this room who doesn't make that decision or has not, that there is someone else sitting in this room who will be talking to them, who will be sharing with them, who will be loving them. And when they make that decision, Lord, they will be ready to walk with them. God, you put us here for a reason. And you are with us to the end. So, Lord, give us the strength to say yes. We're praying in your name today, Jesus. Amen.